see everybody out this morning. Welcome out all visitors we have with us this morning. Always encouragement as we have visitors here. We hope that we've been encouraging you as we've gone throughout our worship. Also, good to see the number that we have in pews this morning. It's always encouraging. And so hope that everybody's been uplifted as we gather together, if we have been worshiping our God. Again, if there's ever anything that takes place as we go through our worship, if you have any questions about, please ask them. We'd be more than happy to answer those. And on the same point, if anything that I speak as I go through this lesson, I ask that again. Please come to me. I'd be more than happy to talk and study. If you feel that I've misspoken something, I'd be willing to look at that. And if I see that I have made a mistake, I hope that I'm humble enough to correct that. Tomorrow we're going to talk about faith a little bit, but a little different standpoint probably than a usual talk on faith. When we talk about faith, we often refer to many verses throughout the scripture that talk about faith. We go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Or we might go to Hebrews 11 verse 6, where it tells us that without faith it's impossible to please him. And our faith is what we must have. Faith is something you have to have in order to be saved. And there's so many verses that point that out throughout the scriptures. But what I want to look at this morning is I want to look in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 8 verses 5 through 13 and talk about the faith that the centurion had. As Jesus is going forth and he's performing his miracles and healing many people, a centurion ends up coming to him. Here in verse 5, if you will read with me, it says, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does this. When Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west, recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown in the outer darkness. And the place there will be weakened in activity. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. I want to talk about the faith that this man had, the faith that Jesus at this time and point says among the Jews that they should know who God is, among the Jews who know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, that they know the history, they should know these things. He hasn't found one with such a faith like this man. So I want to take time aside and just look at the faith and what I see, at least as I'm looking at these scriptures, and what I want to bring out this morning, the faith this man had. He said, only say the word. Jesus said, I will come. You know, Jesus was willing to go and heal this the paralyzed servant, the man that was wounded here or sore, paralyzed. But he said, no, you don't have to. One way he goes to the point of his humbleness and saying, look, don't come, I'm not worthy of you coming under my house. But what I really look at is his attitude of understanding the authority of Jesus. The authority and power our God has. He says, only say the word. This man was had people in charge of him. He also had people under that he was in charge of. He understood the power of authority. That when one has this power, they're able to tell others what to do, and they do it.
They simply obey. He gives us a couple of examples. He says, you know, I can say go, and they're going to go. And when I say come, they will come to me. And when I say do this, they do it. The faith this man had, the understanding of the true power and authority that our Lord and Savior has. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's not just believing in Jesus being the Son of God and believing that Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended into heaven, but the faith and power and understanding of Jesus' authority, of Jesus' power. Because that's something we have to have faith in also. So many want to just believe in, yes, Jesus and God is love. And yes, Jesus and God do care for us, and that Jesus did die for us, and that He does forgive sins, and that there's a heaven. But with all that, there is the power and authority they have over us to command us to do this or that, to come or go. And we have to have faith in His power, believe in His authority, and be willing to submit to it, to obey it. So I want to look at a couple of scenarios, a couple of different ways in which we can look at our God, look at our Savior, and understanding His power and authority this morning. And so, just His faith and understanding, the respect that the centurion had in understanding who our Lord and Savior was. One way we can look at it today is, of course, that Jesus is our Creator. God is our Creator. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 16, turn along in your Bible with me and see what it is, again, that everything in this world was made through our Lord and Savior. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it reads this, "For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him." And John chapter 1, looking there, and in verse 1, John 1, and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Everything was made through our Lord and Savior. We have to know that. We have to accept that. We have to believe that. And He has authority in that sense of mind that He is our Creator. That He created us for a reason, a purpose, to do certain things, to not do other things. He created us how He wants. In His image, He created us. And in other instances, you can turn to Romans, or you can turn to a couple of passages that in the Old Testament where it talks about the potter and the clay. And He has the right to make some pots for bad things, you know, something for the trash. And other things to be there just to hold pretty flowers. They're both needed. They're both needed, and you have to make them for both instances, and so you. The Father has to make them. Now God made us. And not to get caught up and say, well, God made me this way so I can't change, and that God made me a sinner. God didn't make us a sinner. God did not make you a sinner, so we cannot use that excuse. If we study the Word of God, we can find out reasons on why God created us. We can see what God wants from us. But to come to the understanding that God is our Creator, and He expects us to do as He has commanded, to do as He has created us for, and serving Him, and shining His light, and being like Him. But yet so many get caught up, and just as the Scriptures tell us, they get caught up in that question. We are the clay and saying, well, what are you doing? Why would you be molding me like this? Why would this be coming into my life? And again, we can study the book of Job and know that it's not just wrong to question things. But we go further than that to the point that we strive to mold ourselves into others. We start to, as you might go through Romans 12, and see that we try to conform ourselves into what the world is like. And we want to look like the rest of everybody else. We want to look like the world rather than, again, submitting to God and transforming ourselves into what He wills us to be. So we have to have faith and understanding to respect, to submit, and obey to our Lord as our Creator. We also have to do a just and simple point that He is the ruler over all things, that He is our Creator and He's created all things, that He rules over all these things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and looking at 12 and 13. Here it says, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God. Praise your glorious name. Again, He has created all things. He has power over all things. That's why you turn to Psalm 148, the 148th Psalm, and you read through that whole Psalm, and it talks about everything. Everything is to praise God, to praise the Lord, because again, He has power. He has authority over all. As you can go through, it's just verse 1, praise the Lord, praise God. From heavens, praise Him in the highest, praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His hosts, praise Him sun and moon, praise Him all you shining stars, praise Him you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Verse 10, beasts, livestock, creeping things, flying birds, kings of earth, all peoples, princes, and all rulers. Everything, everyone should be submitting to God, should be praising and giving glory to the Lord. Everything. What does He not have power over? We can go to when Jesus was on the ship and He was asleep and the storm was coming upon Him and they woke Him up. Master, do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus was able to go out and tell the winds and the waves to stop, to be still, be at peace. And they submitted. They obeyed. God has that power over it. Again, the astonishment that the people there had when Jesus said it. Who is this that even the wind, even the sea, obey His voice? I think, again, you go back to the centurion. You go back to what he had faith. He said, Lord, just say the word. You just say it, and it will be. Because that's the example we have there. Jesus just spoke. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the wave. He spoke to the storm, and it ceased. All He has to do is say the words, and we shall obey. We should go and strive to fulfill that command that He has given to us. He's given us these commands, and we are to obey it. Again, if you go to Matthew 28, as Jesus points out that He has all this authority, He has been given this authority. Matthew 28, looking with me here in verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority above all things. He has power over all these things. The King James translation would read that. And all the power in heaven and earth. Jesus has that power. And we have to be willing to submit to it. True faith comes to that, understanding exactly who our Lord and Savior is. In 1 Timothy 6, and verse 15, 1 Timothy 6. And verse 15. Again, just different mindsets, different reasons in which we can say, yeah, well, we should obey. We have to submit to Him. We have to do as He said. Why? Because He is our Creator. Why? Because He authority. Why? Because he is the king. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, here it says, but 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15 says, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Again, that is time and again said a couple times in the book of Revelation, as the adult class is about to start into that, and you'll get to those verses. But another thing that I believe goes along with that is Romans 1 and verse 8, which here it says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was, who is to come, the Almighty. And so here he brings out, he was there in the beginning, he is the Creator. He is the one who is still here today, now, still ruling with authority and power. He is the one to come, the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega, the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. So why do we have to obey him? Because we truly understand, we respect, and we know he has that power as our king. And as our king, he has the right to tell you, go and fight this battle. He has the right to tell you to go and do the lower serving jobs. Whatever it may be that he asks from you, he has the power to tell us that. And to command us to go forth and work in his service. So we have to be willing to obey him. Again, as we go forth and look at it, he is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we have to line up with. He's the one that we have to be willing to build on top of. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you read with me, starting in verse 19. Ephesians 2 and in verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Again, when we build, when there's a foundation, like when there's a chief cornerstone, we have to follow on top of that. You start to build off of it. You start to go your own direction. You don't line yourself up, then it's not going to be straight. It's not going to look as good. It's not going to be as strong as it can be. And it will fall. That's why kids continuously sing that song as we have the verses of the Word of God again. Also go with the wise man and the foolish man. You build up on the rock, which is Christ. You build up on the foundation that he has given us, the cornerstone that he is. Lest the house be rocked. Lest our faith be destroyed. And so therefore, what Jesus says, this is what you're building on, and you can build on no other name besides the Lord's, but we can't go any further than that. We have to obey our Lord and Savior. And the same mindset is we're talking about authority, power, including God the Father up above, that we are to submit to him as a father. As parents to your children, you tell your children to do certain things. Again, they should just obey you because you are their parents. That's what Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents for the Lord. This is right. This is right. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Why do we obey? Because it's right. It's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to obey your parents. And we are to be children of God. He is to be our Father up above. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Heavenly Father. Because He is our Heavenly Father. Because when you obey the gospel, you receive His Spirit and adoption. You become a child of God. And as His children, when He commands us to don't touch that, don't do that, go over here, do this, we are to obey. We are to do as He has told us to do. Another faith and understanding is because He is our judge. He is the one that is going to judge us in the end, have to say in the end. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, and again, we refer to it when we read Revelation 1, verse 8 there. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the end also. He is the one that will judge us. John 5 and verse 27 here says, and He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. He has been given authority to execute judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, all will come before that throne. All will come before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give account for our actions, for our choices. And I know there are other points that you probably think that go along with this. We talk about being servants and Him being our master, as Paul time and again refers to himself as a bondservant. And we are to obey our master. We go forth and talk about how we should just simply obey Him, and we have that faith. Do we have that faith as a centurion? Only say the word. Say the word, and we will go. We will keep your commandments, because that's what Jesus said, right? John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Or you go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, where it says, here's the conclusion of all things, fear Him and keep His commandments. The key point is that keep His commandments. You truly believe in Him. We understand the power He has to punish us. The power He has to reward us. Whichever way you look at it, we truly believe that He has that power, and we are to keep His commandments. To go forth and shine His light, to pray, to be good, to be kind, to forgive, to love. We are to keep those commandments. As Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do everything in His name. You read further down in that same chapter, do all things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. That mindset, well, if God said this is what we're supposed to do, then this is what we're supposed to do. God said, we have example, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, to gather up on the first day of the week, well then we need to be at services on the first day of the week. We're to obey because why? Because He said so. Because He said so. We're to obey. 1 Corinthians 4, 6, here the verses go forth, point out that we're not to go beyond, not to add to, not to take away from our Lord and Savior and what He's commanded us. Here it says in 1 Corinthians 4, 6, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. And here, of course, they are getting caught up. Don't get a bigger head. Don't get caught up in saying, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Paul. Again, building on other foundations. Christ is the only one that has died for us. He is the only one who can forgive your sins. It is only His blood that can wash them away. So don't do it just because Paul says so. Don't do it just because Brandon says so. Do it because God, because Christ has instructed us to do these things. We are to keep these commandments. Again, Revelation talks about the same thing. At the end of the book of Revelation, he says, anyone who adds to these things, God will have the place to them. Anyone who takes away from these things that are written in this book, God will take him out of the book of life, out of the holy city, out of all things that are written in there. You're going to miss the reward. It's the same thing under the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. We can't go forth and say, I don't want to obey this. I don't want to stay away from the things God has commanded us to stay away from. I'm going to go forth and say, I want to do a little bit more than what He's expected from us. I'm going to go forth and add my own way to it. God has given us a great amount of things in which He's told us to do. He's told us to go forth and to remember His sacrifice. He's told us to shine His light, to go forth and teach others, to submit to one another, to bear one another, encourage each other, to love our enemies, to forgive. And again, it's not an option. Not if you want to get to heaven. Not if you want to be claimed to be that child of God, to be a servant of the Lord, to miss out on, not to go through that punishment to hell. It's not an option. You get to make that choice. So God has said the word. He's given us examples that if you've heard the word and you believe it, again, we pointed out a few verses at the beginning, faith is important. Faith is a must. But He's also commanded you to repent of your sins. Luke 13 and 3, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He's commanded us to confess. We have the example of the eunuch making that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's commanded us to be baptized. As they asked Peter in Acts chapter 2, what must we do? Him answering, repent, every one of you, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Again, it's not a choice. He said the words. Will you obey? Will you submit to our Savior? If you're here and you'd like to do that, we want to extend that opportunity. If you're here and you need prayer as a congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we'll let you know in advance.
When we walk with the Lord.